Joining us now is our friend Andy Hart of WEEI.com and the Six Rings podcast and the Six Rings postgame show. And, well, if there's six rings, I'm sure Hart is a part of it. And by the way, no Hart on Twitch today, so I know some of the Twitchers were already taking bets as to whether it was Brown or Clemson on the visor. But we're phoning it with Hart today. And, Hart, let me hit you with the question I just said to Fourier. We got Merrill Hodge coming on at 1:30. Fourier had the story on the whole. He said, this is the guy that can get you fired. We talked to Ross Tucker earlier. He told us all the people had joined him. Everybody's all over the place on Drake May. Do the wild evaluations of May freak you out? Whereas it seems like everybody's kind of uniform when it comes to the top two picks.
Not really. Because quite honestly, if you're taking a quarterback in the top 10 of the draft, there's a chance you're getting fired. There's a chance you should be freaking out. There's a chance you should be having a panic or an anxiety attack. That's just the reality. Now, I don't think it's as bad as some people believe. You know, we did an exercise on Six Rings where we did the last 20 years of first round quarterbacks and just sort of reactionary bust, hit, bust. And I actually think there's less busts than people believe. I think it's almost a 50-50 proposition. But I think the thing with Drake May is, one thing, he doesn't have a Heisman Trophy, right? Like, he doesn't have a validating piece of hardware next to him where someone can say, well, gosh darn it, he was the best player in college football for a year. So there's no better way to prep to be the best player or one of the best players in the NFL to be the best player in college football. Drake May was never the best player in college football. Now, does that mean anything? Do you have to be the best player in college football to be an NFL star? Absolutely not. The fields of Pro Bowls and all pro teams are littered with guys who were not the best in college football and vice versa. You know, there's a lot of great Tim Tebow. Is he the greatest college football player of all time? Maybe. Is he one of the worst NFL quarterbacks of all time? Maybe. So that's the reality of the jump from college to the NFL and the reality of the difficult nature of picking, developing, hell, just being a franchise quarterback. It's one of the great scratch-off tickets of all time or unknowns.
Yeah, but, you know, with that, he was the ACC Player of the Year in 2022. Mm-hmm. So he has a really good year, his true sophomore year, comes back, because he has to, and to play his true junior year, and he just – and this is where everybody, like, just, you know, says, oh, this is erratic, this isn't good, this isn't bad. I will tell you what my comp for him has been. It's been similar. It's been Josh Allen, based on where he was, like, his last year when all his receivers left, his offensive line left, and he was just out of control. Everyone was saying the same thing about Josh Allen, but the year before his last year, they were praising him just like they were Drake May in 2022.
Absolutely. You know, from day one, when I started doing my work in, like, December, I was like, this looks like Josh Allen. Maybe not quite the heights of all Josh Allen's abilities. He might be a half a step down from all of them.
Oh, he's value brand me, Josh Allen. There we go.
And some of those are really good, by the way, if you ever try those. Sometimes they're better than the actual brand names, but that's a different topic for a different day.
That's true.
And Josh Allen, you know, is a great quarterback in the NFL who's won nothing. There's still mixed opinions on Josh Allen. Like, the window is closed. He hasn't won anything. He doesn't get you over the top. But Drake May, the fact that he went through what you talked about, sort of the challenges, for me, is a positive. It showed he could work through adversity. It showed what could happen when maybe he had a good cast and a good scheme and a good coach around him. Maybe what could happen when he doesn't. The ups, the downs. Because we lived it with Mac Jones, the ups and the downs, and this idea that, okay, everything went great, so now we're rolling up. Oh, wheels fell off. I'm a puddle of goo. And I think some of those experiences are a good thing. Hell, Tom Brady might be the classic example, right, of the way he was sort of hardened over time at Michigan because of Drew Henson and everything he went through there and then, you know, working his way up. So, you know, all of these aspects, I feel like, you know, are the typical beauty is in the eye of the beholder. One man's trash is another man's treasure. Like, oh, I don't like that. Well, somebody goes, oh, I do. Oh, J.J. McCarthy's a great winner. Yeah, when he's surrounded by the greatest of everything at Michigan. What's he going to be if you took away, if he had stayed and you took away the best O-line in the country, the best running game, the best coach, and the best defense, you think J.J. McCarthy would have had a step back this year? Because I sure as heck do. But we didn't get to see that timing-wise and the way everything evolved for his career. So, I actually like when guys go through adversity and show some of what the downs might be. And then I would say this. It's on Alex Van Pelt to take a Josh Allen talent and get the best out of him, to create a situation where Drake May, and I love how we're talking about this, like Drake May is already the Patriots quarterback, but to take Drake May and make him good, get the upside value, don't get the downside value.
Andy Hart at WEEI.com here with Gresh and Fourier. We are in Detroit. Hart will be a part of the Rich Keefe draft party tomorrow night as it's all going on, and Fourier and I will be dropping in on that once in a while as well. Hart, Amon-Ra St. Brown got a four-year, $120 million contract, according to Rap Sheet. So it feels like one of two things are going to happen here in New England. We're going to live in the mid-level wide receiver group forever, or they're going to go spend $35 million a year on one, and once you stop laughing, you realize the only other way to get out of that mid-level morass, let's call it, is to draft one where there are two sitting there at number three. Does the Amon-Ra Brown Saint contract change the money structure that it causes the Patriots to at least have a conversation today about maybe taking a wide receiver at number three?
I don't think so. It's a separate conversation, and certainly conversations are going to have to be had in a lot of buildings about wide receivers. I think they're having it in Dallas right now, where you heard Jerry Jones say, we want to keep Dak Prescott, but to keep Dak Prescott, there's going to be less around him. That's just the way it works. And oh, by the way, you get CeeDee Lamb looking for a boatload of money. And I think more and more teams are going to have to deal with this idea, deal with what the Chiefs did, deal with what the Bills did. We have a franchise quarterback. That's the most important thing. That's the hardest thing to find. You overpay for that. And then when the receiver position comes, you get a decision to make. How much do you pay him? Because they're tagged together, right? They're sort of tied together. They've been elevating at the same rate over the years. And it's now like, well, $50 million is the going rate for a quarterback, and then 30-something million is going to be the going rate for a wide receiver, and it's going to go to 60 and 40 and 80 and 50 as the cap continues to go up, whatever the hell it may be moving forward. But I would say the difference is you find more receivers. Amon St. Brown, mid-round pick, right? Day three pick. Puka Nacua last year, day three pick. All these second-round picks, these guys that are getting, like, there's a lot of receivers that are found deeper in the draft where you can get 4 years of really, really, or 3 years and then maybe a negotiation of really, really good value. So I actually think this is more of a reason to take the quarterback, because the wide receiver market is where you have to make smart decisions, good decisions, and how you're going to manipulate that. I actually think this is more reason to hashtag take Drake.
So just to your point, so the three highest paid receivers in the NFL, a fourth rounder, a third rounder, and a fifth. Go figure.
With right? Justin Jefferson all
yeah,
the way. And all those other guys will set the table for Jefferson to probably have a chance to break $40 million a year, maybe?
Maybe. And he might be worth it. He might be the best. And Ja'Marr Chase is coming along, and every year there's more and more of these guys, and the rising tide is lifting all boats. But I do think, just in general, I'm not saying, like, I believe that Marvin Harrison Jr. is going to have a great NFL career. I think I would pencil him in. I've said it for like 10,000 yards. Like, I think he's that good in his role. But the question is, compared to all your other, sort of the mosaic, that term that Bill Belichick liked to use, that mosaic, and you're piecing your team together, the wide receiver, I feel like you got a pile of those pieces around the football world. You just got to pick that right piece for your mosaic. The quarterback one, that's a lot harder to fill that void in your mosaic. So, but these are the decisions that, you know, these are the decisions that get people fired, right? Look at the Tennessee Titans. I'm pretty sure there's two guys out of a job in Tennessee, basically because they traded A.J. Brown, right? Like, there was other stuff that happened there, but that was kind of what led to the downfall of Robinson and Mike Vrabel, is a bad decision at the wide receiver position, because they thought they could do the Vikings. Oh, we'll trade our guy and just draft another. It didn't work out. The Bills are doing it. We'll trade our guy and we draft another. How's that going to work out for you? I don't know. Now, the difference is the Bills have the quarterback, and I think that makes life and bridging and all those things. They're not quite in Chiefs land, but they're, you know, sitting pretty with Josh Allen because they have him. So, again, I think all of this, all of these decisions are the second tier down decisions. The first tier up is get the quarterback any way you can, keep him any way you can, pay him any way you can, and then everything else is negotiable.
Does Jonathan Kraft announce his number three overall pick tomorrow night?
Yeah, I think that is one of the great. And even, did you guys read Russini kind of walk that back with her latest post on The Athletic? That, you know, he's asking a lot of questions. Yeah, no crap. It's his team under new management. If he weren't asking questions, I think he's asleep at the wheel. He's an absentee owner.
Oh,
this
God.
Is the dumbest story I've ever heard. Jonathan Kraft is doing what he should do as an owner, and that's check in on the people that are making decisions that are billion-dollar decisions for billion-dollar franchise.
Well, I'm glad he's not scared enough to do that anymore.
Well, I mean, I think they asked questions over the years, but less and less, right? And guess what? You know who will get less and less questions? Hey, Elliot Wolf. If you go out and nail this number three overall pick and then nail the 34th pick, you'll get less questions next year. And then if you nail next year's first round pick, they might stop asking questions altogether and say, in Elliott we trust. But for right now, ask a lot of questions. Figure out what you're thinking, what you're doing, how are you collaborating, who, what, where, how, all of that. Ask all those questions. But this idea that, you know, Jonathan has the stopwatch out and Jonathan's running the numbers and Jonathan's making the pick, I haven't heard anything that indicates it to me. It's the exact opposite. He's letting people do football things and asking questions.
Okay, so last time we'll speak to you before the draft, which is tomorrow night. I know you guys will be on air all night. Who do they pick? Is it just real simple?
Oh, God.
Just say, well, now you're on record officially. No more mock
it's
drafts.
Already in.
It will be Drake May. I think they did what we all did, that I started this. I said there's three franchise quarterbacks potentially available in this draft. Take the one that falls to you at three. You're lucky enough to be in that mix. And it looks like Drake May is the one that's going to fall to you, which to me is perfect for them because you're getting the second best option. I think Jaden Daniels is actually the third best option, but I think they draft Drake May. I think Alex Van Pelt's going to love Drake May, and hopefully we still love Drake May in a few years. But for tonight, everybody in Patriot Nation should be hopeful. Tomorrow night. You should feel good about having a potential franchise quarterback. Enjoy it while you can.
Hey. Mm. Sounds like on a merry-go-round. Same thing they said 3 years ago.
Enjoy it while you can because you know it's going to blow
Don't even think of comparing Drake May and Mac Jones. They're
why?
Not in the same world.
Well, why
not?
Not
the same world.
How do you know?
One is the most physically all-around gifted quarterbacks that's come – Drake May is in like a,
you have no, listen, you can't even see straight. Listen, you may be right, but right now you have no clue what Drake May is going to turn into.
No,
you have no clue.
I didn't say I know what he's going to turn into.
No, heart's about to shine himself. There you go.
Physically gifted.
There it is. Again. Right.
Again. Those are two very different things.
You're just, listen.
Physically, hold on.
Physically, you've never seen him play.
Physically gifted is what you sell when you don't know if they can play. Because it's the best
you can come up with. I don't know if he can play
He's
in the NFL.
He's got good bloodlines. His dad was a coach. His mom played track in college, ran track in college. They're all D1 athletes.
Winner. Mac Jones has a low, high floor. Mac Jones, his specialty is diagnosing and blah, blah, blah. It's all BS.
So if I bench press 225 20 times, I'm physically gifted.
If
you're 6'4", weigh 240 pounds, can throw the ball on a rope.
What's your BMI?
On the run.
Oh, I've seen 100 people throw the ball on a rope when they're 6'4".
We haven't seen Mac Jones do it because he was never 6'4", and he never threw it on a rope. So the guy you just compared him to, you never saw that happen.
I actually thought he had a decent arm.
Hopefully,
sometimes throwing it too hard is a problem.
Well, hopefully this quarterback won't go from Alex Van Pelt to DeMarcus Covington next year, and we'll leave it at that. Andy Hart of WEEI.com. What was that?
Throwing a shot.
Let's not break this one.
That's true. Handle with care.
There you go. All right, brother. We'll talk to you tomorrow night, I'm sure. It's what is it? You? It's Keith. Who else is in on the Rich Keefe draft
Cast
party?
Cast of thousands. Everybody. We bring all. We're men of the people.
So you had to welcome everybody because Shime wouldn't say no. So I get it. I understand. You don't want to break his heart. Thank you, brother. We appreciate you. There goes our guy, Andy Hart of WEEI.com, at Jumbo Hart on Twitter and Instagram. Give him a follow.